I'm Brad from the PYB Radio Journalism Collective, and the segments we're presenting was produced by David, Jared, Tyler, and I. We're focusing on whether or not the media represents prison life as a cool lifestyle. We picked out a few video clips with different portrayals of the prison lifestyle to compare and contrast how the media presents it. We're ultimately trying to determine how the majority of media illustrates those who are incarcerated.
First clip we looked at was a music video of 50 Cent's song, 21 Questions. The video is about 50 Cent going to jail and wondering if his girl would still be with him even if he didn't have the comforting life and money outside of jail.
Girl, it's easy to love me now, but you love me if I was down and out.
So first of all the inmates or convicts are all, they're all pretty young looking guys. They're all black and brown, like Hispanic or black. They're all acting real tough. They kind of look like models, you know, like it's obviously shot for a music video. There wasn't a lot of variety in the inmates. The prison was pretty clean.
They had to prove things through fighting to, like, show who was more dominant.
The video tried to get off a fake persona of masculinity. Basically, like, it looked really cheesy, but also it gave the illusion that, oh yeah, this is what jail is really like, when it really wasn't. Sometimes people go to jail, but, like, it was a really clean environment. Like, most of the stuff was, like, you know, usually what you see when you actually go there. People were, like, dressed as any way they wanted to. And stuff like that. The next clip we watched was scenes from Adam Sandler's movie The Longest Yard. The movie is about the actor Adam Sandler, who is an ex-football quarterback that ends up going to prison and is recruited to coach and play for the prison football team.
364 days a year, the inmates at West Texas Federal Prison are chained up and beat down.
We got us a fine prison guard laid down here.
I pulled strings, called in quite a few favors to get you.
So we just watched some clips from the movie The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler. And the environment, it seemed throughout the movie, was they had a lot of freedom to do whatever. All the guys seemed to get along pretty well for the most part while they're making the football team. It's just kind of like more playing around than actual how it would be in a prison.
My perspective about it is they were doing stuff that usually inmates would never do. They were able to walk any places they want. Like, they went to the library and then to the play yard, to the shower, anything. They just went. I thought that was kind of impossible. There was no security guards or...
Yeah, staff was never on them. Staff was never making them do anything, really.
Yeah.
They had a lot of freedom.
And most of the people in there, they sort of were defined by their race. It really, like, animated.
Stereotypical.
I also noticed that they were wearing some clothes from the outside, which you're not supposed to wear when you're in prison, like some hats, some jackets, some types of pants, and shoes.
We know this is a comedy that is supposed to exaggerate and stereotype prison life and poke fun at the idea of being in jail, but does this example make prison life look fun and relaxed? If not, what feeling does it give to an audience? The last clip we watched was a news segment by PBS NewsHour covering overcrowded prisons in California. This segment actually shows what prison life looks like. It's not a typical prison setting considering that it's overcrowded, but we can still get a clear idea of the overall environment.
It was scenes like this in a gymnasium at Solano State Prison in Central California that convinced the U.S. Supreme Court last May.
Those were only a few samples, but we were able to analyze how different styles of media tend to show the prison lifestyle. It seems to us that the first two are shown a lot more frequently in the media, and they give off the impression that it's cool and a masculine kind of lifestyle, whereas the third clip doesn't look appealing at all. If you agree that the first two are more dominant in the media, how do you think that influences the public's opinion of the prison lifestyle? How can that also influence other aspects of life regarding incarceration, such as legislation or the actions of young and impressionable people? We'll leave that for you to think about. I'm Brad from the PYB Radio Journalism Collective, and this segment was produced by David, Jared, Tyler, and I.
Good evening, Portland. I'm Missy.
And I'm Joseph, and today we're here with two special guests, Corey and Cassie.
This evening we are going to discuss how someone's perception of prison compares to someone's real experience. First, Joseph is interviewing Cassie, who has never been to prison, and she is going to share her opinion on what she thinks prison is like. Joseph, take it away.
So I'm here with Cassie.
Hey.
So I have a set of questions here that I'm going to ask her and see what she answers back. So my first question, what kind of people would you expect to meet in jail?
I would expect kind of people that are covered in tattoos, kind of people that have had bad experiences growing up, and the kind of people that just don't follow the rules.
What do you expect people in jail to wear on a daily basis?
Ever since I was 14, I thought people in jail wore white with black stripes. But I think once I got over that, it started to be orange jumpsuits.
Why do you believe that?
Easy answer. Movies, TV. I wasn't raised in an environment that I was surrounded by it, so what I saw on TV and stuff was all I knew.
What do you think jail food is like?
Mushy potatoes, corn, and unidentified meat.
Do you think that prisoners get much privacy?
No way. I assume they have to share a cell most of the time.
Do you think the legal system is fair in its prosecution?
I think a lot of innocent people get charged with crimes they didn't commit, and a lot of guilty people don't get charged for the crimes that they did commit.
Alright, now I'm going to pass it over to Missy.
Hi, Corey, welcome!
Hello.
So, what did you think about Cassie's opinion on prison life? True or false?
Well, I can't tell her whether her opinion is true or false. She's had her own experiences throughout life that pretty much made her opinion what it is. I can only tell her my experience in prison and see if that changes it.
What was prison like for you?
It sucked. I mean, being surrounded by people that you don't know 24/7, being told what to do all the time by guards who don't really give a rat's.
How did you keep track of time while you were in prison?
I tried not to, actually. You know, the more you keep time, the slower it seems to go. I just pretty much based my time off of, you know, visits. You know, I'd get visits every week or every 2 weeks or so, and I would just, you know, after one visit, I'd just think about the next visit, and then that whole week would just fly by, and that just seemed to be easier.
What was the day-to-day attire?
Well, it pretty much consisted of blue jeans and a blue t-shirt and a blue sweater with orange patches on them that they used as targets. You know, they pretty much just said, Property of Oregon, Department of Corrections. If you were working, you got, you know, work boots that fell apart and were very uncomfortable, or you got little cheapo Converse-looking shoes that were very uncomfortable. So that was pretty much it, unless you had, you know, your own money to buy your own shoes, but you couldn't really buy your own clothes. So
you had to wear their uniforms?
Yeah, that's when you go in there, they take all your clothes, and they give you, you know, their clothes. And so that's really all you have to wear.
Was the food you ate good, or did you even eat the food?
At first, I was eating the food until I got a job as a lead cook, and I got to witness firsthand how unsanitary the kitchen was and how unsanitary the cooks were. I've witnessed people spitting in the food. So after that, I stopped eating the kitchen food, and you could just buy stuff off of commissary, like Top Ramen. And
were the prisoners treated fairly?
Not really. One of the first things that happens whenever you get into prison is you have to show them your paperwork, which is your court documents. It'll show you all your charges. If you've got any charges that are like, you know, child abuse or anything like that, you are pretty much put into a group that's, you know, outcasted from everybody else. You're treated like crap. You get beat up all the time. The guards don't really care what happens to you. You can be getting your, you know, butt kicked in the corner, and the guards will just turn away because they feel like you deserve it. So,
were you an outcast?
No, when I went in, I had good paperwork. So I got along with everybody. I didn't join any gangs or anything. Those run rampant in prison. I just kind of stuck to myself and did my own time. I wasn't going to get involved in prison politics and, you know, become one of those guys. It wasn't appealing to me in any way, shape, or form.
So, were the prisoners kept healthy?
Not at all. I mean, there were three nurses for 2,400 inmates. They don't take care of you.
There were no doctors?
If you want to see a doctor, you have to schedule an appointment, and normally you won't see that doctor for another week and a half or 2 weeks out, even if it's like a life-threatening thing.
Oh my gosh. You're
kind of out of luck.
So when you were there, did you have any special rewards for good behavior?
They've got like an incentive level system, which isn't really anything. I mean, level 4 is pretty much the level that you go in there as. You don't really get anything. Level 5, once you do like 3 months of good behavior, you're able to like buy a TV that's like $320 for like a little 11-inch TV. And level 6, I mean, you get an extra day of visiting, so your people can come in on like a Thursday night instead of, you know, only getting Fridays and Saturdays. So that's kind of nice. But you can't get level 6 until you have a year of like clean conduct, no disciplinary reports or anything.
What did you miss most when being in prison?
Females. Like, you're surrounded by, you know, so much testosterone. Everybody's ego just... Everybody's just clashing, trying to be, you know, the alpha male.
What did you look forward to?
Visits. That was the one thing that I could look forward to. I didn't want to look, you know, too much into the future, like, getting out, because it seemed very far away. And visits, you know, they were once a week, you know, once every couple of weeks. So that's pretty much what I kept my mind.
So what did you do when you first got out? Was like the first thing that you did?
Well, I walked outside the gates and I was surrounded by 15 of my closest family members and friends. And I cried. I was so excited to be on the other side of that gate that I didn't care. And then we went to Starbucks.
Was it good?
It was delicious.
How did you feel when you got out?
Ecstatic, but scared. Happy that I was out and didn't have to be, you know, told what to do 24/7 and be surrounded by people that I didn't know, that I frankly didn't like. I was surrounded by friends and family, and I had my support system actually there. I could pick up a phone and call somebody anytime I wanted. I could, you know, walk out the front door and go for a walk without being surrounded by barbed wire. But at the same time, it's scary because you're handed everything for, you know, 18 months, and then you get out and you've got to do everything for yourself. So it was kind of scary, but, you know, with the support, you know, I was able to get up off my feet and, you know, get going.
So did prison change you for the good or the bad?
Prison definitely changed me. You know, 18 months in a cell, you know, really, you got a lot of time to think, and I was able to be able to look inside and see, you know, who I was, and change the things I didn't like about myself for the good. You know, I believe it changed me for the good.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
So now we've heard both perspectives of prison life. Does this change your opinion? Thanks for listening. Good night, Portland.
This is Casey, and I'm here with Dee Marie. The topic of our show is Too Deep to Quit. Is it possible for criminals to change their path and find redemption? Or at a certain point, are they too deep in it to quit? Dee Marie is my guest today, and she will be letting us in on her story of how she's overcame the struggle of doing criminal activities. Dee Marie, tell us a little about yourself.
Hey, my name is Dee Marie. I'm 17 years old. I recently just got off probation and out of a facility in September. And now I'm attending Portland Youth Builders, striving to earn my high school diploma.
I see what you're like now, but how were you in the past?
Well, I started committing crimes at the very young age of 9. I started off shoplifting little things here and there. By the time I was 11, I got my first theft. From there, my behaviors only got worse and the level of severity progressed. I started shoplifting more and more items from the stores. Then I moved to breaking into cars and stealing stereo systems and anything valuable. From there, I ended up robbing a few people, which eventually led to me robbing a house. At the age of 14, I robbed and jumped another female on the max and caught myself a case. That was when I first found out what a Measure 11 was. I was looking at years, but luckily I wasn't 15 yet, so I got adjudicated and placed on 1 year of probation.
Why did you commit crimes?
The reason I started stealing was because I was taught to at a young age. I never got into real trouble for it. It was a survival skill, and it was easy. Also, use stealing as a way of revenge on others who had done me and my family wrong. I could make a living off of getting over it and selling stolen goods. At times, I also even had fun while doing it. I was getting free stuff and getting away with it. What more could I possibly say? Except I thought I could get away with anything. I thought I was smarter than the system. In my eyes, I was invincible. And there was nothing anyone could do to alter my state of mind.
I feel you, because growing up with nothing, then looking at your neighbors with something, it makes you want, desire, and envy. You even go to your parents, you might ask, can I have, and then they tell you they can't afford, then what? And then in order for you're born into a mother who's been involved in criminal life, and your father has a high string rate, how can you not follow into their footsteps and keep their name strong without doing wrong? So I understand why you committed your crimes. So DeMarie, was crime worth it?
Yes and no. Yes, because I got the wake-up call that I needed, but no, because it gave me a bad look. Before I got on probation, I was running wild. I was constantly getting arrested. I stopped going to school, started shoplifting on a daily basis, smoking weed, doing mushrooms, and drinking. I would stay up all night and sleep all day. I did whatever I wanted and didn't listen to no one. I got in fights and had a lot of conflict with others because I loved to run my mouth. I definitely had a mind of my own.
What happened after that?
After I got on probation, I was placed in my first program for 3 months. It was terrible, but it scared me into shaping up for a few months at least. But then I started to get fed up being in the system and I ran away. I was on the run for a few months and then I got caught up shoplifting at Hollister. I was taken into Donnelly Long Home, where I thought I would spend only a few weeks. But little did I know, it was only the beginning of a year and a half long journey through hell. I went to RAD, which is located in Donnelly Long, then to Pettigrove, and worst of all, Rosemont. From there, I went to a Boys and Girls Aid foster home and then to Seneca House. Finally, after being in 5 different placements, I was placed back with my mother.
I know a lot of people in their 30s who said if they can do it all over again, they would. If they'd known how much it really affected their future life, they wouldn't have never beat up a person or stole from a person or beat them up because they looked at them wrong. Before they realized it, it was too late. So back to the question, was it worth it?
Throughout the year and a half I spent in facilities, I changed my life for the better. I learned to have respect for others as well as respect for myself. I no longer have the desire to shoplift, collect dirty money, or commit crimes. I got clean and sober and back into school. I'm currently working toward my high school diploma and planning for college. I'm a whole new person. So yes, it was worth it to jump the girl on the max and get on probation. Because if I wouldn't have, I would have most likely been doing time for another Measure 11 in Oak Creek, ruining my chance of a good life.
Secluded in a confined room and lonely, you begin to think. You say, I need to change. There's better things in life than what you've been doing. But when you get out, life has moved on. But the same people want you to hang. You're starting to feel like you're too deep in and out of quit. And for that one wrongdoing, society says you're not even good enough for a job. What are you to do then? Got kids to feed and people to take care of, but nothing to take care of them with or feed them with. Do you find yourself falling back to old habits? Is it hard to change?
Of course it was hard to change. I mean, when you're pulled so deep into a lifestyle of criminality, it's hard to turn around and get out. But if you don't make that change, you will end up regretting it. It will be hard at first, but in the end, it will all pay off, and you will be so grateful and proud for the new life that you have started.
So I read this book called Life in Prison, written by Ticker Williams, and in it he writes, I miss seeing, smelling, and touching flowers, grass, and even dirt. I miss being able to go for walks whenever I feel like it, or even going to the movies or the beach. So is homesickness, loneliness, and missing life worth your freedom? The small things that people take for granted are missed by people who don't get to see it or can't have it. So DeMarie, is it worth it to change?
Like I said before, it was definitely worth it to change. Not only because it saved me from a future and a life of going in and out of prison, but it saved me from following in the footsteps of my parents, who are currently still trying to make something out of themselves in their 30s. By the time I'm 30, I would like to be graduated from college, working in my dream job of being a dermatologist, living in a big nice house, married, and planning a family.
Thanks, DeMarie, for coming in and opening up about your story. I know it's not an easy thing to do.
Definitely, and you're welcome.
So to end, I will be sharing a poem called That One Wrong, Amen, written by me. It talks about life in prison, then life after prison. I got this from my own outlook, from hearing different stories about people who have been to the pen. Here it goes. Prison. Why they got me behind bars and not pretty walls? They want me to stay sane, but how I was looking in here, I'm going the opposite way. Prison. Cold nights and stiff sleeps, hoping and wishing kids don't end up like me. I just want to know, why is this place so cold? I want to sit and do my time, but I don't know if I can hold. prison. The fear of being alone and then knowing too much. The fear of the guard coming in and saying, get up. Controlled by another man with higher rank. I'm not in here for not thinking, just thinking too late. Trying to point the blame and I can only blame me. Realizing that prison just ain't the place to be. Gotta watch your back even to the ones I call homie. Cause they'll be the ones that get my sentence changed for 5 to 20. Dudes in here doing life with nothing to lose. Just motivated by giving me the blues. Prison. Serving food, serving inmates plates while my kids is out there and I don't even know if they ate. Prison. Ain't this messed up to be locked up and the ones that loved you just seem to give up? Trying to control the outside from within these brick walls. That's not happening with just visits and phone calls. Tears fall from my face feeling like I'm a disgrace. Knowing that I got me in but I don't want to run this race. After prison. I vow to do better. Live by the rules and not by the trigger. But I'm starting to feel like this idea is not real. Cause every time I try, I just seem to fail. Try to do right, but I keep getting punished for that one wrong. Put in 50 job ads, but still can't land one. So back to the hustle I go. To end up back in the place so cold. It's like a cycle I desire to break, but I can't. I try it, cause that one wrong keeps getting in my way. So I pray. Dear God, I have nothing to say. Just keep me out of this place. Amen. Now I serve him. This is KC on your local 90.7 FM KBOO radio station, signing off. And remember, your voice matters. Over and out.